is October 2016, and we're bringing you Viva Chikara for the month. My name is Kevin Ford. Justin Houston is with me. What's up, Justin?
Not much. Just it's unbelievable how quickly things are coming on Chikaratopia now. Two nights of King of Trios are on there, and as soon as I think I've caught up, then like more stuff gets uploaded. And then they did a live show, or they like did a show that was supposed to just be taped. They ended up just giving away on Facebook. So yeah, crazy stuff going on. If you like Chikara and you have Chikaratopia, you're getting a lot of content lately.
Yeah, and that the Black Goodbye was the show that they put on Facebook that was on September 17th, I believe. I actually watched a bit of the end of it. I really wanted to watch Gulak versus Hallow Wicked. The rest I knew I could catch on demand for when I watched it and did the review. But I ended up catching the last two or three matches of that show, and I really liked that main event. And that whole show, I believe, with all the bells and whistles, like the promos and stuff, I believe is already on Chikaratopia and for sale if you're an MP4 streaming kind of person in that regard. So yeah, they're really turning into a super well-oiled machine in terms of getting their content out. Like you said, the first two nights of King of Trios are out, potentially all three by the time you listen to this, and now they've been updated and polished from the rough cuts to throw in all the backstage promos and things of that nature. So that's what I've been waiting for, to rewatch Trios, because I went to the shows. I usually go to Trios. I don't want to come home and watch them right away. I need the time to decompress, kind of get it out of my system, forget about it a little bit. So I typically wait for the version with all the promos and stuff in it to come out. And that's about a good enough time for me to feel like I'm going to rewatch them again. So I'll probably get around to rewatching Trios within the next couple of weeks or so. Probably by the next time we do a podcast, I will have all three of them watched and maybe some more in-depth thoughts than I did when I was watching it live. So I'm looking forward to watching all those again. I know you haven't had a chance to watch them as of yet, but I assume you'll get to them fairly soon as well.
Yeah, that'll be a quick thing, especially since my daughter. I wanted to tease the idea that that women, win, but I didn't really just like women could win the idea, and she seemed very not against it, but she seemed very confused by it at first. She was when I said, and there are a couple female teams, so there could be a queen of trio. And she goes, yeah, no, it's King of Trios, so like only boys can win. No, that's just the name of it. There are women's teams. And she goes, yeah, but then it'd be Queen of Trios. I go, right, that's what I'm saying. She goes, but it's called King of Trios. And I'm like, they have women. If a woman wins, then they call it King of Trios. And then she got Queen of Trios, yes. And it blew her mind a little bit. She was like, her eyes got really wide. She was like, oh. Whoa. So knowing the way that it goes, I imagine, or hopefully, she'll be pretty excited about the result. But she seemed more intrigued than just the regular Chikara shows, which I've been watching solo a little bit more than usual lately.
I do love that experience where this isn't necessarily the same because it's with an adult, but I rewatched NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2 this past weekend with my girlfriend. Because we're going to NXT in Baltimore this Saturday. And, she saw TakeOver Dallas and really liked it. But there's some new characters like Noé José and Austin Aries and some other people that she wouldn't know. So we watched it. And she really enjoyed it. But my favorite part of watching it with her was when she bit on the false finish of Gargano and Ciampa versus Dash and Dawson. Like they hit the finish and the foot gets on the rope. Like she gets excited for them to win. And then genuinely mad when they didn't win. And then when the Revival won. And it was like, it's so great because I feel like we're too deep into this stuff where we can see on a level like psychologically this should get the reaction it wants, but you don't really know because we're too big of fans to really be on that level. But to see somebody who's not react that way is really cool to see. And so yes. I think I'm excited to see as you watch King of Trios go along. How your daughter reacts to some one of her favorites lose or when they win and going through that ride when you know and they don't know is, I think, super cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think we maybe rewatch last year's too because, my girlfriend had no idea who AJ Styles was. So we went through that whole thing and it wasn't, a huge appreciation for the guy. And now she's a huge fan. He's having another amazing year
Right. And
And
she has a set of eyeballs, is what you're saying.
yes, that's basically yes. She is watching AJ Styles and having the correct opinion. So watching it again, watching him again through that lens, like even when I remind her, whenever I reframe anything from the WWE, as if it happens, there's other wrestling, other places, and they could also have wrestled there at some point. It's sort of mind-boggling still. But she does not like blatant cheating. She doesn't like people running in. She is a wrestling purist. She doesn't like any cheating, any. I believe as after AJ Styles hit the low blow, I believe my girlfriend's first words were, "I don't know how I feel about this," because he was just about to win, which is what we wanted, but it was preceded by a cold slap to the groin. But that was that's always enjoyable when you someone who you don't think of as being as ravenous a fan as you are is just as invested. That WWE or whoever the company is doing something right.
Right, and because I think on a there's some level you have where you're like, I really love this, but are they having fun doing this, or are they doing it to just kind of to appease me or what? But when you see they're genuinely having fun, it's great. I don't want to belabor this conversation too much, but one moment that I still laugh at is I'll usually have a group of friends over at my place for pay-per-views, and she came over for SummerSlam, and we were watching it, and about halfway through, maybe I don't remember exactly what point it was, she goes, "You know, I think I like NXT better than this." And I just said, "You and the rest of the internet." And it was really funny hearing that coming out of like just like a human person's mouth, that I wasn't just reading a Twitter timeline at the time.
Yeah, that was a common complaint from my kid and girlfriend. It was something great would happen in NXT, and she turned to me and go, "Why can't Raw be this? Like, why can't wrestling be this good?" And I was like, "I don't know. I can't help you." And
And you're just like, "I just do not have the energy right now to answer that. There's no succinct way to answer this question."
there really isn't. It's amazing how much, and it just dawned on me recently, how much SmackDown packs into 2 hours compared to the three that Raw has. And I realized it's because they have pretty close to the same amounts of wrestling at times. Like the total SmackDown really relies on it, and Raw can kind of get away with a few more in-ring segments. But it's the same. I feel like I get as much wrestling from SmackDown that I do from Raw. Now, that may be different
Yeah,
now with the
probably. I mean,
Cruiserweight division.
if you broke it down, I wonder how it would go. And my friend Kate, she does like a Raw breakdown to see like how much time the women get, how much time the cruiserweights get, and how many appearances people make and all that sort of stuff. So I wonder if I could convince her to maybe do a SmackDown Raw side by side comparison of
Yeah,
in-ring
I mean,
time.
it's certainly going to be skewed now because of the Cruiserweight division. Because they're
Well,
dealing with.
the kind of circling back to Chikara is I find, because occasionally we'll watch Chikara too, and she really enjoys that. I find there's certain things like, what is it about NXT and Chikara that people find more palatable than, say, your standard WWE or maybe some of the other more like diehard wrestling related companies, like indie companies out there?
Are you asking an actual question?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were setting yourself up hypothetically for a resolution. I think it's more palatable because it feels like, I don't know. I feel like wrestling is the interest, is the prime purpose of us watching NXT, of us watching Chikara. With Raw and even SmackDown, you understand there's different forces at play. They have to plug the movie. They have to make sure this match gets time. They have to make sure this match gets time, or that you're reminded that this exists, or something like that. And a lot of it's kind of predicated on, and a lot of it's repeated. Stuff on Raw is repeated over and over and over again on the same show. If something big happens, it repeats as soon as it happens. Like as soon as you come back from commercial, they show you what happened again. At the top of the hour, they'll show you again. And then near the end of the night before the main event, they'll remind you of what happened again. Whereas on these other shows, it just, once it happens and it's gone and it keeps moving and keeps moving forward to the other, interesting thing. So that's always the way I felt about it. It felt more like purely wrestling invested.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. Maybe it's something about the characters too. You know, I think it's very easy to get a grasp on. I don't know, say Seth Rollins' backstory is like what his deal is. And then like if I were to tell people, like if I let's say I were to tell somebody like about Seth Rollins and about how Triple H screwed him and to make Kevin Owens a champion, then I'm sure that person would be like, so why are they cheering Kevin Owens and booing Seth Rollins? Like there's a disconnect by what you're telling them and what the reaction is there. Well, NXT and Chikara, it's very cut and dry, the characters and what side of the ledger they're on.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe what makes those so much more interesting, more palatable, is that even if NXT does something stupid, which they're still prone to do, and everyone is, Chikara does dumb stuff too, you're still getting really good wrestling. And that is not always the case on Raw. It's been really what's plagued them for a time, is that if they're really a wrestler, normally they don't get an interesting story. Like Cesaro, or if they're really, really interesting, the character stuff like Bray Wyatt, the matches are never very good and never goes anywhere. So you can't be fully interested in something. Everything comes with a caveat. Everything's at like a yeah, but. In Chikara and in NXT and in any indie, no matter what, you can always kind of fall back on, well, at least the wrestling's good. Because you're not going to have people on there if they're failing as a wrestler and they're failing as a character and they're just not interesting.
They're gone.
Their only name is Eva Marie. And you see through it. Like you understand that that's a blight, that is a boil on the cock of wrestling. And you just move on from it and you look away and you realize that there's sort of other stuff going on. But that's sort of everything with Raw. Like, what is Kevin Owens' character? You know, like he goes on Talk is Jericho and he says that people that think that him winning the belt is about Triple H just don't get it. And it's BS. It is absolute BS. It is a cop out because he feels like he's gotten to where he is and that's all he needs to do. He doesn't need to explain actions. He doesn't have to admit that it was a stupid way for him to win the championship. And that his character is just directionless at this point, that we don't know what Seth Rollins is. We don't know. At any point, any of these people could turn face or heel, and we'd go, oh, okay. And that
I think
shouldn't be true.
I follow. I remember this line from a Lewis Black special when he was talking about this is around when like Enron and all that stuff went down, and he said for Enron and like how people should know that they were what they were. He said if you can't describe what you do as a company in one sentence, you don't get to be a company. And I think for a wrestler, if it takes you more than a sentence to describe what they are, something needs to change.
Right, and the answer is the thing of it is they try to. There's an answer there, but it's a bad one. What is Kevin Owens? If your answer is prize fighter, my response is the fat guy in stretchy pants.
All right, he has the prize. Now what?
Right, like what is this? Like what's the point of him having this? So that's again, that's why SmackDown is hands down winning so far is because they're telling. And I tweeted about this ages ago. I said, whoever tells the stories, that's the company that's the show that's eventually going to be the one that thrives. And so far, it's SmackDown. SmackDown's had the better ideas. SmackDown has done things that were obvious and not counterproductive, like keeping Roman Reigns a squeaky clean babyface. It was pretty clear that the Usos were it wasn't going well for them, so they just turned him heel. And it's been a breath of fresh air for them and they and the way they work and their styles and everything. Everything that's happening with The Miz, giving them a forum, a more blatant forum after the wrestling program to sort of talk and get their stuff out there has been genius. Everything new that they're doing is working, and everything Raw is doing feels. Even the cruiserweights stuff, it just feels kind of tacked on and you know, 1 week Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon are having a really passionate, interesting conversation about their careers, and the next minute she's just sort of trashing him. He's like, "You're right. I'm sorry. I'll kiss the foot." It's just, you know, it's same old Raw.
Well, I'll put this conversation aside because we can go on and on. And this is definitely a Chikara show. We want to talk about their wrestling. And there's quite a few topics to talk about. Yes, of course, we're going to cover the two shows coming up. But there's been a lot of things that have come up in the world of Chikara. Most recently, of course, is the third hour of Power that streamed this past Sunday. And I actually had the pleasure of getting online and watching it with you. We had some podcast stuff happened behind the scenes that you don't care about, but we basically had to retest to make sure that this would actually record. And I decided, since we were both going to be home watching the Hour of Power, it made sense to just have a chat, just, you know, catch up on stuff there and watch the Hour of Power in the background. So I'd be hard pressed to say that either of us had our complete and full attention on it, but from what you did watch and what you did see, Justin, what did you think?
It was good. It was a little, I don't know, a little less engaging than some of than some of the past shows. But again, we were talking the entire time. I remember at one point we just both realized that this Juan Francisco Ophidian match was really good that we were watching. And you said it out loud. You just was like, "Hey, this is really good." And then we sort of talked a little less for during that match. Yeah, I mean, it was good. It's a good show. It did not have my full attention. I feel like it really went by quickly too. I feel like Chikara, I could just absorb and absorb and absorb. And there's so many wrestlers and so many characters that you could probably put on five Chikara shows in a row, back to back, with five match cards, and every card would feature a different wrestler, which is crazy. But I feel like they could pull it off with their history and with what they've got going now. This was just like another great slice of Chikara. I like the main event tag match, but the match of the night, or match of the day, I guess, the match of the hour was Juan Francisco and Ophidian for me.
Well, that was the main event.
Was that the main event? I thought the tag match was the main event with the Bicycle Bros and
on Ophidian and Juan Francisco.
The No Good Next. Was it really?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was the other way around.
I don't know either.
That tells you. It tells you how little attention that I was paying. It seems like Hermit Crab shows up on all of these at this point. He's been on every Hour of Power.
Yeah, it's like him and Barksdale. Like him, Barksdale. Ophidian's been on all of them. You'll usually get an ant. There wasn't one here. Defarge and Crummles have been on all three. Kobold. I think I said them already. But either way, yeah, you'll get some of the same guys here and there, but they like to vary it up. Like, I'm glad they, like, Des Pelotone and NRG, like, they were a nice – there was their first time ever on the Hours of Power. So I like that. And, like, Kim was on the last one. I think this kind of had a slight disadvantage because the first one was exciting just because it was the first one. We really didn't know what to expect. And the second one was like the appetizer to the live network special. So there was a lot going on story wise. And I think they announced a King of Trios team then too. Well, this was just kind of there, just like another hour of wrestling. They did the storyline in the middle with Max Smashmaster beating up Solo Darling, who I don't know why she came out when she was hurt to try to wrestle him. That seemed like a really poor decision on her part. But aside from that little storyline piece, there wasn't anything to sink your teeth into. And I'm not asking for a lot out of a 1 hour special that's, you know, free if you have the network subscription. But it just felt like there was less to really there's nothing about this that screamed must see to me, in terms of the storyline. Like, you don't want to miss this storyline plot.
Yeah, I feel the same. Well, at least it wasn't special, but it wasn't bad. I mean, I enjoyed watching it. That was good. It just wasn't anything to you know, we're not going into anything super detailed right now because of that reason. There just wasn't a whole lot. Other than it was Ophidian's third point, correct?
Yes, he has a third point now. And he had a promo in there. I didn't listen super closely to it, but he basically made it sound like, they took out Amasis at the last, that the network, not the network special, but the last Philly show. I think Angelo said he beat him up pretty bad. because Hallowick has basically said anybody who was in that 7-man match with all the ants is going to get hurt. And so Amasis was in that match, so he got hurt. And I think Ophidian, now it's personal to him because now they're messing with his tag partner. So now he's involved in this Nazmal Dune fight, it seems.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it should make for a really good match. I can't remember. No, they did not face each other in the 12 Large Summit. That was,
No, they did.
did they? I thought they were on the other side of it.
You were at the show where they wrestled
What?
at Clunk and Love. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Mantis versus Jigsaw from Block B and Ophidian versus Hallowicked from Block A.
Remember Mantis versus Jigsaw. Why don't I remember Hallowicked versus Ophidian?
Yeah, they were definitely the same block because they both wrestled Quackenbush. Because Hallowicked and Quack was the very first match, and then I remember the Ophidian versus Quack match was in Detroit, and it was really good.
Gonna have to go back and watch that terrible. I gotta watch that show in general, I guess. I certainly remember the Ultra Mantis Jigsaw match because of how many the sheer number of times that Ultra Mantis nearly killed Jigsaw. But yeah, I'll have to go back and watch it. So I think it was, I imagine it was really good because they're really good.
Yeah, it was good. I actually rewatched part of that. I think we talked about it on here when I was testing out Chikara Topia on my Roku. I think it was around the anniversary of that show, and I just really felt like rewatching it. So I didn't end up watching the entire thing, but I definitely rewatched that match. So I think it's like the second, I think it's between Chase Owens and Archibald Peck and the Batiri Fist Trios match.
Oh, so it's like the second match of them. Okay. Yeah, there's maybe
Yeah,
there's a
so like it would make total sense to me that you forgot it. Not to mention that it was what, 6 years ago almost.
Yes, that's true.
I believe Saturday is actually the 6 year anniversary or the 5 year anniversary of that show. That's crazy.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Where does the time go, Justin?
Backwards.
No, that's not true.
Well, scientifically, it is.
What?
Time is behind us.
No, man, ever forward. Haven't you watched Luke Cage yet?
Right, but ever forward, and we're pushing through, and then time is left in our wake like debris.
I guess so, if you want to think of time as we like consume time and leave it
Okay,
behind.
think of a time ahead of you.
Now, also
That's current. You're thinking of what, and you're not even thinking of now. Because by the time you say now and you get to the W, that moment's in the past.
right, fair.
Boom roasted. Science.
Moving on. So here's something that they kind of just threw up on YouTube with no real explanation or fanfare or anything, but it's a movie trailer for this thing called Wrestling Equality. And when I first saw it, there was like a trailer for it. I thought it was going to be a documentary about Kimberly or maybe Heidi Lovelace in there, because I remember them putting something on Instagram, like an interview they were shooting with Kimberly or something like that. I play the trailer, and it looks like it's like a behind the scenes look at King of Trios weekend. Because there's like footage of like Team Sea Stars in their car. There's footage of like Gulak in the, well, one in the net, but another time when he's talking to the Sendai girls. And it seems to me like it's basically what the WWE Network has with their WWE like 24, I think is what it's called. Like they're
Yeah.
like behind the scenes reality shows. And so I'm incredibly interested to see what this is. It's on Chikara Topia. It airs, it, or it premieres, I guess you should say, this Friday, October 7th. So if you're not a Chikara Topia subscriber, that's definitely a nice incentive. I think it's really cool to have that on there, just because Chikara Topia is awesome to have the full back catalog and stuff. But having these subscriber exclusives, just like the Hour of Power, but having these little things as well, is really, really nifty. So I'll definitely be watching it. Maybe not the first day, but I'll definitely be watching it pretty shortly after. What do you think about it?
It sounds interesting. I remember seeing, I didn't, I still watched the, well, I guess I watched the trailer when we watched the Hour of Power, but I didn't see it the first time. I feel like I saw a tweet about it or something like that. And that's it. And I thought, huh, that sounds interesting. Or I also dreaded because I remember defending the decision to have two women in the finals. And whereas I felt like, oh, it's this empowering thing. You were like, yeah, but maybe there was a little bit of a, like cashing in on, it being a year for women and it being sort of a, maybe having like a I don't want to say like scummy or undertone, but like a more of a business reason behind it than just like an important moment in wrestling equality. And then seeing that they put out a documentary, I thought, I don't know if that helps my argument or hurts my argument, or like makes yours that they're, you know, calling it wrestling equality, and they filmed a whole thing about how important that is. But either way, I'll be interested in it, interested to hear what it's about, because like you, I think it looks like a trios documentary more than you know, some you know, testament to their being you know, needing to be more equality. It doesn't even seem to be about equality in wrestling. Maybe it's just you know, that's just a kind of a tagline for it. I don't know.
You know, maybe, and you know, maybe part of me feels like I don't, you know, I don't know how to answer your question about the strength in my argument or whatever else, but I do think that it could be something where they have the opportunity to look at it from different angles. Because yes, you could have where you have this Joshi team winning, but you know, I thought the footage of the Sea Stars in their car was really interesting because you could tell the tale of like this is their first King of Trios. This, I mean, I would wager to say it's probably the biggest wrestling show that tag team has ever been on. So you could tell different stories with the women of King of Trios being involved in this tournament and what it means to them. Like you have Kim and Heidi where they've been at Trios before, but never at like, you know, Princess Kimberly is now one of the top competitors in the company, and Heidi, this is her first time actually in the Trios tournament. Plus you have like the Divas Revolution women and, you know, all this other stuff, which would be really interesting too. But it seems like they have a lot more footage than just that kind of stuff. So
Right.
again, you know, I guess we'll see how it shakes out. But I think having more content like that is really cool. Although you mentioned something in our conversation yesterday about this is, you know, how does a company that's so that takes very a lot of care to not have you peek behind their curtain, you know, having this on their Chartopia service seems like they're doing the exact opposite of what they take great care in doing.
Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna work. If they're just, you know, showing guys with that mask on like it's no big deal, or if it's, you know, if they blur faces or something like that, I'm not sure. But that's, yeah, that's again another intriguing thing about it. What is it gonna be? When is it out again?
This Friday, October 7th.
Okay.
And they haven't given a release time. Like, I don't know if you can go on at 12:01 a.m. Friday and watch it, or if it's going to be premiering that evening or something. But I have a friend in town all weekend, so I don't know if I'll be able to watch it. And if I do, like, the earliest would be Sunday, probably. I don't know. But like I said, I'll get to it unless someone like texts me like, "You got to watch this right now."
Yeah, exactly.
Then I
Like,
might have to drop everything and get there.
yeah,
Otherwise.
I'll be on Cocoa Beach, so I'll have other concerns.
Oh, yes, very nice.
Yes, not getting an
You have
NXT show
other
this time.
concerns.
Hurts a little, and you're getting one in a couple days, so not cool.
How the mighty have fallen?
Yeah, once again. Oh yeah, I'm definitely mighty having to travel to an entire other city just to see, you know, in another state. During vacation, to just to catch a wrestling show, in a small venue. Yeah, that's it's the wrestling gods really testing me further. You know, it's
Well,
like,
hey.
guess what this year? Not only are you not getting a show, but that guy who gets all the shows, he's getting your show. Ho.
Well, now seems like a perfect opportunity to plug the Nova Pro Wrestling Show, Springfield, Virginia, October 22nd. It's on a Saturday. It's our first Saturday show. So if you weren't be able to come because it's on a Friday or Sunday in the past, Saturday seems like a pretty good day to do it. And you know who's going to be there, Justin?
I
Dustin.
don't. Yeah? Oh my
Also known
gosh.
as Chuck Taylor. I mean, he could be Chuck Taylor in Nova Pro Wrestling. It's not Chikara, so I'm pretty sure he'll be Chuck Taylor there. But that is really super duper awesome.
So wait, you're saying Chuck Taylor's going to be there too?
No. I feel like I've confused you. Dustin is going to be
No.
there.
It's pronounced Justin. We've been doing this show for ages.
No. Okay, Chuck Taylor's going to be there.
Oh, he is. Okay. I hope he doesn't run into Dustin. That'd be awkward.
Okay, no, but I feel like folks, this is going to be a really long off-air conversation, so I'm just going to move on to the
Hang
next
on.
topic.
Let me, if I could try something real quick. It's important. I should also announce that Nova Pro will actually be making its debut in Atlanta next month.
No, I'm afraid that is not true.
Oh, I thought that like it worked that if I just announced something that it would happen.
If you're willing to pay for all that, then
Oh.
sure, we can run a show in your town.
I thought if I just said it, it would happen.
No, you don't just wish wrestling shows into
So
existence.
you're not actually just wishing for them. You're stating things that are actually going to occur.
Correct.
Oh, that's the
There's
difference.
a website and everything.
Cool. So I got to get a website, then I say it, then it'll come true. Got it. I'm onto it.
There's a lot of more work than that, but we can discuss that again off air. And the
Cool,
mics
cool.
are cold.
I'll get the deets. I'll get the deets.
So last bit of business we need to talk about before going into the shows is it feels like it's the once every 2 years thing where the Chikara video game thing pops up.
Yay.
And this time it's an Indiegogo for a run by Chikara themselves for a video game called the Chikara Action Arcade Game. And it's an Indiegogo where you donate based on a certain tier, and based on whatever tier it is, you get some sort of reward or what have you for donating. And
You know
unlike,
how this works, okay? There's so many websites that do this, you stupid idiot. You should know
well,
how this works.
but I think the difference between Indiegogo and some other websites is there are some websites where you donate the money, and even if they don't hit their goal, the money's taken out of your bank account. Yeah, but Indiegogo, I believe that is not the case.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Don't give money to those
Yeah,
websites.
it happens because there or there's been times where like it's funded and they take the money and then no product is ever made, and then there's just no liability. Look at like the Wrestling
Oh.
Revolution project. Like
Yeah,
that
no,
got
that.
funded, they took their money and like nothing's ever come of it. And it
Yeah, no,
sucks.
that absolutely, yeah, that happens more often than not. So, I thought you meant if they don't meet their goal, they just be like, well, you can keep the money anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that happens, but
That's good.
I think there are some where you can like choose to let them keep it. I don't know, it's weird, but this is not that. If it gets funded, they take your money out of your account, and yay, you get a video game. But if not, then it doesn't happen. So currently, right now, there's a $25,000 goal, and they have raised $7,836. So 31% of the goal, and there's 31 days left in the whole thing. Joey Styles has said if it gets funded, he will do commentary for the game, so that's cool. But I don't know, Justin. I think I've kind of lost faith that we're gonna get a Chikara video game.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I just don't understand why they're doing this. I mean, I get it. Want to, Chikara in a video game sounds fun, but couldn't you have just used that money to make like a not terrible match three game like Block and Fido? I don't know. It just seems like I'm not going to play whatever the best version of this game is. Like the absolute best this could come out is not something that I would play and enjoy. I, first of all, I don't do PC game at all, anyway. So it's just yeah, it's not an appealing prospect. I understand people just want to support Chikara and support everything they do, but. It just, what am I doing here? It's like I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to use it for sure. If it was something, cheap that I could invest in again, like some dumb match three game or something that they could put out on the store and get some money from that, then yeah, sure, that sounds like it's fun or something that I might, play. Not this.
Right, I do not like playing video games on my computer. That's a me thing. Like I am very much just a console person. That is a Kevin Ford problem. That is not a Chikara problem or an Indiegogo problem. That said, the gameplay and what I've seen of it just looks really rough. And I understand that it's a beta test or an alpha test, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't think I would get the mileage out of it that would be worth my money. I don't know if I'd play it more than once or twice just for fun. And, you know, none of what I'm seeing here, I don't know, like, where's this 25? I mean, I guess it tells you, kind of breaks down that you want to be able to get some people dedicated to the $25,000, so you can have somebody dedicated to putting this game together. But I feel like I'd want to see that money invested more in the game than the people behind it. I don't know. And the perks I don't think are all that good anyways. So, and you know, at this point, it's been a month. You know, I think it goes up for 60 days, and we're at the point where it's going to be up for 30 days, and it's only 31% funded. Maybe the interest for a Chikara video game just isn't there. Like, that's might just be the reality of the situation.
Here's the thing. A lot of these people are going to buy WWE 2K17 anyway. What's the difference between them just making characters in there or getting created characters in there and just wrestling on that game?
Well, I you know, I guess I suppose this kind of looks like a WrestleMania arcade game where people might have special powers or, you know, do certain things that you wouldn't do in that game. But are people really clamoring for another WrestleMania the arcade game? I know people like that WWE All-Stars game a whole lot. I did too. But this doesn't look like that.
It does not. I wish they'd make another one of those. This seems like a really cheap wrestling game. Here's the thing. We've been through this before. We went through this with Bruto Resurrection.
Yes.
We went through this when they announced a game previously, said it was going to come out, and it never did. And not only that, but it was sort of used in storylines to the point where it became canonically fake, but it was a real thing. So it was baffling. I remember at the time, this was very upsetting for the both of us. We didn't really understand what they were doing. And it was very non-communicative, and it was just a very bad experience overall. But we got a really cool video that sold the premise of the game, so it built excitement. It was the music, the Ultramantis voiceover, the zombie characters that were supposed to be coming back. It was really cool. And so even though there was no gameplay footage, it was still intriguing enough to get you interested. This is just purely gameplay footage that I've seen, and it looks neither fun nor intriguing. The reproduction of the Wrestle Factory sort of arena, that's pretty cool. But in general, it's just not appealing to me.
Right, like I'm with you. I think when I saw the Rita Resurrection trailer, I thought, like, this is going to be a game that when you're done with it, you get another storyline piece or something. Like something opens up, something is made clear to you that isn't before. Like, that's your reward for beating the game. And that's something I probably would have, despite me not liking computer games so much, would have invested my time in, because I knew the outcome was going to be worthwhile. This is
Yeah.
just it's a fighting game or a wrestling game and that's the end. And it doesn't even look like an incredibly fun one.
Yeah, I don't want a wrestling game starring Chikara. I want a video game where Ultramantis Black is threatening to raise a zombie army of undead or clone soldiers to fight a horde of ants. That's insane. Like that's a concept I can get behind and go, okay, yeah. I definitely want to play that. Just the, you know, th there's nothing, there's no hook to the game or to the experience that makes me think outside of just the game itself being a game. And that's not enough, especially after last time, after getting kind of burned, getting excited for the first one. I think that's what leads to this sort of such a tepid reaction going, oh yeah, this again.
So refresh my memory. How was it tied into the storylines again? Was it something to do like it was like Rogue Brains was a teeter conglomerate thing or something like
That's
that?
literally it. They listed the video game as a conglomerate of a fake corporation involved in the storylines, and but they were real. So, you know, it made you it was a little bit insulting. You know, it made you think, oh, was this ever going to happen? Was this always a fake company? Like, I don't understand why they did this.
An alibi would be my guess. So like it failed, right? And then they could be like, no, it always was supposed to, like, because it was part of this teeter thing, which is, but like, you're not dumb, you know better. Like if it had worked and it came out, then it would have worked and it would have came out. And if it didn't, well, then it didn't. So I don't know. Like, is this going to be something that they try to will into existence, even if the Indiegogo doesn't necessarily go through? I'm not entirely sure.
I hope it's good. I hope it's fun. I hope it looks better than it does now.
If it even happens.
Right. Yeah. Let's start from there. I hope it happens. I hope that they get something out that's enjoyable. But if it's not going to be any good, then I hope it doesn't happen, because this is the most I've liked Chikara in ages, and I don't need another experience that's going to either detract from that or just, lose focus from. You are not the WWE, Mike Quackenbush. You are Chikara. You can't do a video game. You can't, you're doing 24/7. You have a network. Like, I get it. I get what you're reaching for, and I get the point you're trying to make to people. But this was not the way to do it. They had this huge network with tons and tons of content, right? And so you did your own smaller version of that. And that's cool. That's great. That's a smart way to do it. They do like their 24/7. You do like this grittier behind the scenes thing that has this purpose of highlighting women's wrestling. That's another smart move. Doing the exact thing WWE does, but for cheaper, is not what you're supposed to do. That's the opposite. What was interesting about their stuff is that it looks great, and it's like a simulation, and it's beautiful, and it's tricked out and super expensive. What you do is don't do that. Do your own thing. Rely on what makes Chikara Chikara. You didn't just follow a single wrestler around for 24 hours. You decided you wanted to highlight equality. You did it at King of Trios, and it sounds like they're going to tell multiple stories. That's what we're hoping it is. If that's the case, then you took their concept, you made it about Chikara, and you made it even more interesting in that regard. That's what I want out of Chikara video game. I don't want a cheap version of WWE 2K17. You're inventive and clever enough to come up with something that all I was saying was a match three game. Just a match three game with an interesting interface and something going on with it. There's tons of different match type games out there, and they can't. I can't imagine they're expensive to program and create. I can't imagine they are. Just get one of those out there, get a ton of like money from stupid 9-year-olds, like have all sorts of in-app purchases. I don't care, and then use that money to fund something real. You know what I mean?
Yes, I get it, but I do want to stress, I do think Chikartopia is pretty sweet. So like that was a super good idea to copy that.
That's the thing, is that take what they do and do your own version of it. Tweak it so that's more geared to what you can do. Like that's the whole great thing about the Hour of Power. It is within your power to do it now. And it's fantastic. It works well. And I should say I'm interested for the sound mixing. We even commented on it when we were talking. Was much improved on the show.
I almost forgot to mention, like, I didn't have any audio or video glitches or anything during the Hour of Power this time. It ran perfectly smoothly. So, it gets more refined and it gets better as they go along. And that's exactly, I think, why they do these hours of power, I guess, is the correct way to say that. And I don't want to discourage anybody. Like, if you watch the gameplay footage and you're like, man, this looks fun, donate. Throw your money in and hopefully the game gets funded. But I just think, we're kind of decidedly where we're both fine not playing this game.
I'd actually love to hear why I'm wrong about this. So if anyone at Justin J. Houston wants to tell me why they think this is either a good idea or just in general why I should be putting my money toward it just because it has Chikara's name on it, I'd love to hear rationales behind it. And I won't jump
Yeah,
down your throat or anything at first, but I'm curious.
I think that sends a really wrong message to give them money for no matter what.
Right. I'm against that with literally everything in life. Don't just throw money at something because you always threw money at it, and that's something I teach my daughter and something that I live by.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good lesson. There was a time where, there are some people who just like, well, I'll buy the company X's shows this month. They don't really look that interesting, but well, I buy them all. So I'm like, well, then don't buy this month. Save your money and buy it when a show that does look interesting to you comes out. And then that sends the message to them.
I truly believe that everyone in life has a bill they could cut in half with a phone call. I guarantee you. Everyone has one that they could make a phone call, not make vague threats, but basically do it like with a little bit of legwork, looking at other, whether it's your car insurance or whatever, looking at something and going, this should be cheaper, or this should be less, or I need to take a closer look at this, and it'd be less. Do that with everything. That's what I love about Chikaratopia. That's why we jumped on it so quickly. They literally, I couldn't say no. Like I couldn't do it now. Like I think I was just charged for Chikaratopia like this morning, and it just put a big smile on my face. I was like, great, awesome.
You know what you get to do, Justin? You get to watch all three Knights of Kinga trios this month for $8.
I don't even think of it that way. I think of it as like I'm getting it for nothing. Because even if I wasn't getting those shows, even if they said we're not going to put trios like on there because that's our big money shows, we're going to do them like 2 months down the line. I'd be like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever, because it's still such a good deal. I'm still getting these shows. I'm still getting live shows. They're still doing like random free stuff on there, and I still have a huge backlog of things that I'm eventually, when I get a Roku player and can kind of more easily get access to that, go through that. And can you search by wrestler on the Roku app? By the way.
No,
Okay.
I believe it's strictly just like, season 15, and then you go through the season 15 catalog or season 14 and blah blah
Okay. That's what I figured. But if that ever happens, like if they ever get to the point where the app is upgraded enough that you can search a wrestler or like two wrestlers and they'll like bring up matches they were involved in, I'm done. All I'm doing is Chikaratopia, like always, because the only barrier sometimes in getting that started is, no, I got to look up the show they were on, and then I got to find it, and I got to go and I got to play it. So that's how lazy I am.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly things you can refine about the search process and all those other things, and I
Right.
think that's how all video companies and stuff go. Like WWE has it now where you can search for a wrestler and things like that. And I understand that the functionality may not be there for Chikaratopia, but hopefully one day you'll be able to just punch in Archibald Peck and like, boom, here's a playlist of all of Archibald Peck stuff.
And hopefully one day it'll include things he does in 2016 or 2017, or please come back, Archie.
Someone asked me. Gosh, I forget who it was. Oh, it was my friend Brian. He goes, "Is Archibald Peck the best thing Chikara has ever done?"
Boy. I would say no, but I would not argue anyone that said yes.
And, like I was thinking about it, I was like, "Man, like that's a really strong choice."
Yeah.
Like, there's
Oh,
a
yeah.
very strong easy argument to be made that it was.
Yeah, I think so too. I can't readily argue against it for something else, but on a personal level, there are other things in my mind that work that I treasure a little bit more than Archie. And it came from such a random debut. I just remember that debut so vividly. Just bewildering, and ended up being the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's almost like there's certain matches where people like say like I think this is the best match of all time, and I say while I personally do not agree, like I totally get it. I
Yeah.
totally get why you would make that choice, and like I think that is also a very great match most of the time. And it's just not my personal favorite.
Yeah.
Like there was something I think I was talking with my roommate about Wes Anderson movies because I'm a fan of his, and I think we were talking, and I said I think Grand Budapest Hotel is his best movie, but it is not my favorite movie of his. I think there can be a difference between
Yeah,
the two.
I totally agree, and I kind of agree with that sentiment. But we probably have different favorite ones. Are you a Zizou guy?
Yeah, I'm a big Zizou guy.
I do.
Though
I just,
Royal Tenenbaums is pretty close.
yeah. That would be. That's mine. Royal Tenenbaums is.
It's a really good one, so that's a good choice. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get to talking about some Chikara shows. What do you say?
Surely.
What's over here? All right,
That's true. That's what we paid for.
we're paid.
No, what? No,
That's okay.
that's all. Nobody. Anyway, so Jakar has two shows in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they're going back to Haverhill, Massachusetts. It's been a year since I've been there. I forget the name of the venue. I don't have it pulled up. It's a high school. It's a different place than they went to last time. So if you're going, make sure you have the new place they're going. Don't go show up at the same place as last year. You won't see them.
It's a chess tournament. You'll hate it.
I hope that's true. I hope there's a way I can verify that that's true. So yeah, so first we have fitting the theme of movie sequels, we have Cruise Control in the afternoon. It is a 2 p.m. start. and there's been 5 matches announced for each show, but as we've seen in the past, you can probably expect an encore and maybe a bonus match thrown in there somewhere. We can only talk about things that are announced, silly. Time is not backwards, or time is backwards, and we can't go forwards, whatever Justin was saying earlier.
Exactly.
I'm on board. okay, so let's start with the show. We have the aforementioned Juan Francisco de Coronado, who lost to Ophidian. He's taking on Donald Kluger. One half of Dez Peloton is going alone on this show. No Jasper Tippins with him. That is a very curious match to me. I did not expect them to have one of the bicyclists go solo so fast. I really like that gimmick, by the way. Dez Peloton has really won me over in their few appearances in Chikar. I really enjoy them. So seeing how Donald and Francisco are going to mesh up is very intriguing to me. I feel like this is Juan's for the taking, just because it's the guy who's normally a singles wrestler versus the guy who is not normally singles wrestler. So that's why I say that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Juan. Like, did he win his tag match with Juan E?
Yeah, they have 2 points.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so that's still going on. Yeah, I don't know. Part of me thinks maybe this was supposed to be a tag match.
And well, Juan E is on the evening card, so.
Well, I meant they couldn't get the other bicycle bro.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. By the way, that the black goodbye, the last show we talked about, I won, I believe, perfect score on that. On those predictions, so
yeah, you did. Congratulations. So my official prediction for the show is just going to be whatever Kevin says. That's pretty much how I'm going to do it now.
Do you also think Juan Francisco de Coronado?
Yeah, I got to be honest. The bicycle gimmick, I like it. I don't like them fiddling around with their dumb helmets. They need like better helmets because sometimes it just falls off their head and they just sort of fumble with it. I don't know. It's sort of strange, but they seem like they're good wrestlers. It seems pretty fun, but yeah, he's definitely going to lose to Juan Francisco.
You've seen Super Troopers, right?
Yeah.
One of my friends remarked that he really wished that they could have done the joke from Super Troopers where they go on a date and she says dress as a biker and she dresses up as a motorcyclist and he dresses up as like a bicyclist.
Right.
So I want like the partners to show up and be like, oh, biker, and they're both in their different outfits.
That'd be phenomenal. That'd be amazing.
And then like the next show they're flipped because they each dress for the other and they just never get it right.
See, that's perfect for my cosplay gimmick. I wanted somebody to be working like with 3.0. They had like 2 shows and they did costumes and I wanted to be like, just do it every show.
Yeah,
you know, like every show.
We've just talked about that many times on this podcast.
Yeah. That'd be perfect. Like, yeah, we're bikers. Like, that didn't work out. And the next day, the other one's a biker and the other one's the other biker. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Especially if it's, like, one of these cards where it's an afternoon and a night show.
Yes, and they're on where
they clearly, like, looked at each other and went, change, at the same time, and they went, okay, and then they just walked away.
That would be classic.
Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
So, we didn't. Kluger looks a lot like Ricochet in his photo.
Does he? Oh,
like a younger Ricochet, like the nappy hair, or like the flat hairy weird head.
Did we mention the Chikar people getting tryouts like at all?
No. Oh gosh, how did we skip that?
if someone made it this far in the show, yeah, they gotta be really upset at us. Yeah, couple Chikar people, no big whoop. They just got tryouts at the Performance Center. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, no big names. Just 2 former grand champions, Eddie Kingston and Kimberly, former Young Lions Cup champion and Heidi Lovelace, and former 2-time Campeones de Frejas 3.0.
That's amazing. And yeah, and what was great is that Kingston got a special shout out. And a mention on an article at WWE.com where they kind of, you know, ran down how long he'd been wrestling and what an opportunity it was. So, yeah, that was really, really cool to see. All those guys and girls deserve that look. And so many more from Chikara. But Yeah, that deserves to be mentioned because that matters. That I know a lot of people are getting looks nowadays in WWE, but those are a lot of good choices for WWE to make.
Sign them all. Sign all five of them.
Well, I still want them in Chikara. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see 3.0 in WWE just to see if it would work. Just to see what it would look like. That pleases me greatly. That's as close as we'll get to Chuck Taylor in WWE.
I want to see like Triple H give Shane Matthews a direction for a promo, and that direction is just don't stop smacking your gum.
that would be it. Or just him blow past the advice. He's just like, all right, bring up your past history. And he's like, great, I got it. And they roll, and he's like, I got a past history. So the other day, I'm in a gas station. And you're like, oh, he just mentioned the first thing, and then he moved right on from it. And he's going to tell a story about a gas station. Okay, great. Jagged's there, just like, just rooting, like, no, you keep going. Keep it up. Just, keeping a hand on the wheel. Make sure he doesn't deviate too far off the road. I'd like that very much.
We'll
They
see.
can't have less charisma than TM61. I mean, that's for sure, right?
That's mean. I like TM61.
I like them too. I like them. I mean, Shane Haste was on that list of, well, what is his name? Nick Thorne.
No, it's Shane. He's still Shane something.
Shane Thorne?
Yeah,
Something
that's
with
it.
Thorne. Okay,
It's Shane
anyway,
Thorne.
that guy, he was on my special list of three people I would force WWE to sign that they'll never sign. The other one was Akira Tozawa and Chuck Taylor. So I'm pretty close to getting all three, I guess. But yeah, there's just they're good wrestlers, but it's just they're not very interesting. I don't know. Just a lack of charisma. And 3.0 have that in spades. Like they've got almost too much charisma. Like I questioned in
Absolutely.
their one match in NXT whether there was too much charisma for them, whether they had too good a showing as the jobber team. So I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, sorry to deviate from that, but it felt like important breaking news.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's incredibly important to mention it and super great, and that means I think they have their eyes on a Chikara more, which is really awesome. And I really truly hope Eddie Kingston gets something from this because Lord knows he works hard and is one of the best promos on the indies, if not the best, and works his butt off and would be so cool in that environment. I really hope something works out for him.
As do I. And the great thing about the Chikara guys too, is that all of them come with this extra check mark. When you're in football, and you draft a quarterback, you have to look at, I mean, no matter how great he is, you have to look at what system they ran in, right? Because if part of the thing that they ran in college was that the ball would be hiked to them and they would just run the ball like straight away, it doesn't necessarily lend themselves to being a great pro player. So you look at guys that ran offenses that they would use in the pros, and that'd be like an extra check in the box. Like, oh, this guy can run this style of offense that we run, so that would be, and we can see what he can do in that offense. All of these people work in PG environments and like well established in PG environments for years and know swearing and not swearing and all that stuff and how to get over in front of adult audiences in a PG environment, that is a huge checkbox in their favor.
Most definitely.
Also, Drew Gulak was on Raw and was amazing, and I guess that's it now.
One of my favorite wrestlers to watch right now is Drew Gulak.
Truly.
Anywhere. Like I can't get enough of the guy. So yeah. Okay. Now we can go back to the show. So yeah, Juan Francisco beats Donald Kluger. Now we're back to the important stuff. I'm super looking forward to this singles match, Justin. Silver Ant versus Icarus. So Icarus has, of course, been a jerk. Silver Ant really hurt his arm over these past couple of months. And now he's going to get his hands on him in a singles match. And the intriguing thing about this is not only is it a grudge match, but Icarus has 3 points and Silverant has 2 points. So the winner of this gets a grand championship match. So it's another one of those situations I love where Icarus is playing gatekeeper for Hallowicken and Silverant has his history as almost being hexed into the Nightmare Warriors Nazmaldun lifestyle in a previous season and it not working out. So to me, the best outcome of this would be a Silverant victory and a grand championship opportunity against Hallowicken soon before the season ends, if not the finale.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it'd be a phenomenal match. I would actually probably pick Icarus if he had less points than this would make 4 points, which is crazy, right?
I mean, it's crazy, but it's happened.
Yeah, no, it definitely has, but he's not going to do anything with it. He's not challenging Holloway. Although, again, I was talking off air about them potentially down the line doing a Nazmaldun show, like just a show of Nazmaldun. And that type of thing, you know, they'll need a Nazmaldun challenger. But yeah, I think I have to think that Silverant's going to get the win.
Yeah, this is certainly a vote with my heart more than anything else. It wouldn't shock me if Icarus won, but this is definitely a vote with what I want to sure. see more so than what I truly see. Though either way, you know, again, I'm sticking with Silverant. It's fine. Tag team match. We got Los Ice Creams versus Team Big Deal of Sloan Caprice and Rick Roland. Still haven't seen too much of Caprice and Roland, but I like their Haas style. I like they're just two big dudes who do big dude things. That's always fun. And the dynamic with Los Ice Creams could either be really fun or just really jarring. It could not work out well at all. But we'll see. Kind of feel like this is Big Deal's for the taking. Oh, and for the record, Big Deal has 1 point and the Ice Creams have none.
Wait, they have how many?
Zero.
Oh, okay. That's what I figured. Yeah, this definitely has to be Team Big Deal. I've liked them so far. I really like their – I finally saw them do this tag maneuver that they were doing the first time. They did it for the first time, and they did it wrong. They did it backwards. I've seen them do it correctly every single time since, where they do the World's Strongest Slam Powerbomb Lariat combo thing.
Yeah, like the heart attack with the World's Strongest Slam.
It's called essentially, yeah, Deal Breaker. That's right. I knew it had a name, but I couldn't remember what it was. Yeah, that's really good. Like that is a rock solid looking move, and you don't see what other tag team in wrestling is doing a move that takes out both tag partners at the same time. That's pretty cool. So I like them. They're a good change of pace. They're definitely going to beat Los Ice Creams. But I expect it to be a more, I don't know, I expect it to be a fun match.
Yeah, it definitely has the potential to be. One thing I want to say, going back to our last show, remember we had that email talking about the crowd booing Team Big Deal and cheering the United Nations?
Yeah.
So I rewatched that match, and like Team Big Deal was 150% the heels in that match. So, like, the crowd reacted exactly how that match was laid out. So I kind of take back what I said. Like that's how it was supposed to go down.
Yeah, I mean, they were definitely – it was out of nowhere, too. I think that's a confusing thing, you know, is that it was we're so used to booing the United Nations that someone coming in and immediately being, you know, bigger jerks than they are, just by the nature of being larger – and seeming like jerks, because that's all you really have to do in wrestling to get over to get any sort of boos. They want, as soon as they see you, they want to boo you. Like, that's how wrestling is now.
And they do all the typical tropes where, like, the Big Deal refused to shake hands. He refused to get in the ring. Yeah. He had the big men do the bidding for him and only got in when it was advantageous. They isolated for Kosh, I believe. You know, like all the typical tropes you see in a multi-man match with how the Rudos work. So. Yeah, that was completely designed and got the reaction they wanted. So that's that.
Yeah, nowadays if you just like walk too slowly to the ring, like there'll be immediately people going, "Oh, this guy, enough of this guy." Even if the whole time like passing out candy to children, they'll just be like, "Ah, come on, get, like, so slow."
Get in the ring.
Yeah,
get in the ring.
Like, people are always looking for a reason to boo nowadays, and yet nobody can get heat in the major promotions. Like, it's hilarious. Like, nobody can get sustained heat. But they can get that reaction of, "We don't like you," just like rando boos from the crowd. Except Miz.
Another singles match between Ant and Nazim Al-Din member, and that kind of becomes a theme on the evening show too. We have Missile Assault Man against Jigsaw. That could be really excellent. I think Missile Assault Man is a pretty underrated singles guy, though I think a lot of people now are giving him some props. Although I did not like his Icarus match very much. I thought his match with Dasher was really excellent. Did he have a match with Touchdown? He had a match with somebody else that I thought was really, really good. Oh yeah, he faced Angelo Setti at a Trios, and I really like that match. So yeah, so I think him and Jigsaw has potential to be very, very good, though I suspect the outcome of this will be much like the Icarus match and the Angelo Setti match. I think Jigsaw defeats Missile Assault Man.
Yeah, what's the point totals?
Jigsaw has 1 point and Missile Assault Man has zero.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I can see him doing that. Yeah, I would say Jigsaw wins. I actually didn't know about this is the first match that we've announced that I did not know about ahead of time. That I hadn't seen a, or maybe I just forgot about it or something. But yeah, I'm super excited for that. That should be really good. Yeah, I'm gonna go Jigsaw too. Even though I like Missile Assault. Is Missile Assault man now, or still is, or he's not back to Ant?
Correct.
Okay. Like they just sort of used him, and now they have seems like they've discarded him again after that Ant match.
Well, I don't know. They still have him involved with the Nazim Al-Din characters and stuff, so it's not completely.
No, I meant the colony.
Oh.
It seems like the colony, went out of their way to go with a guy like, hey, why don't you join up with us? And like maybe he was too much to handle during the match to like, ugh, get away,
Well,
like.
it seems like we firmly have the colony, Fire Ant, Soldier Ant, Silver Ant, and then we have the JLA of Worker Ant, Bullet Ant, and Missile Assault Man.
Yeah, I want to see that more established too, because I think that could be really, really cool and just a great idea to have those two groups sort of on different ends of the spectrum. I'd like it to involve a certain pink slash carpenter ant, but only time will tell.
Well, it did at the August show at the network special, but
Right.
it's yet to be seen since. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. And he's really, really good. And he, like, every time I see him, I just remember, man, this guy's super good. So.
That he is, and hopefully we'll get some more of him. One thing I think is very important to remember about Jigsaw is, although he is presumably under Nazim Al-Din's spell, what did he say when he first came back to Chikara, Justin? He's like, "I'm here to get that grand championship." So if he gets 3 points and is on the side of Hella Wicked, there's going to be some, what am I trying to say here?
Contention.
Yes, there could be. I mean, if his goal is to win the grand championship and he has those 3 points, that's his goal. Like he might be gunning for Hella Wicked despite being under Nazim Al-Din's influence. Who's to say if he's under Nazim Al-Din's influence that he can't be the one to carry Nazim Al-Din's influence into Chikara?
It's true.
Who's to say? I guess Nazim Al-Din, but he hasn't said anything yet.
That we know of.
Well, that I know of. Main event time. Another tag team match of both teams at 0 points. The Osirian Portal of Amasis and Ophidian against the Battery of Obarian and Kodama. This is actually a rematch from Scorn Utopia from 6 years ago. I looked, they have not had a tag match since, and I remember that tag match being pretty good. But it was like the Battery's like third match ever in Chikara, so this should be certainly better and probably really, really awesome. I'm having a tough time choosing a winner in this one, especially because I have so many Rudos winning on this card. I've said forever, I feel like the Battery are kind of the ones I feel like are kind of set up to be at least the next challengers, if not the next champion. So I'm inclined to say them, but I certainly would hear an argument for the Portal.
The portal just feels off at this point. Like they don't even match their gear anymore, do they?
No, and it is semi-irksome.
It's full on irksome to me. Like it bothers me actively. Like I really, I don't know. They don't even feel like a tag team anymore. They feel really like they've gone in completely separate directions. They just have not recovered from the whatever it was, the year long. I've already forgotten the name of it.
Oh, the Challenge of the Immortals.
Challenge of the Immortals. I couldn't get Clash of the Champions out of my mind. So,
Close enough.
yeah. Yeah, they haven't got over Challenge of the Immortals. It just has not come cohesively. Maybe this is the time to do it. I don't know. I don't think so. The thing is, with encore matches and things like that, they can always do. They can always have, some good guy come in and beat up some jobber. So I'm actually going to go with the Batiri.
All right, yeah, I'll settle on the Batiri then as well. So, yeah, that's a very we have four out of the five matches we have the Rudos winning. So, what a dour evening that could be.
Yes. You know what? Afternoon, right?
Right, yes. So now we're gonna move on to the evening card.
There we go.
We start off this with a tag match. We have Cornelius Crummles and Sonny Defarge who got 1 point. They earned it against Des Pelotone on Sunday's Hour of Power. We're taking on Hermit Crab and Rock Lobster. And we actually got a promo from Defarge and Crummles in the event center where they mentioned that they're salesmen. And I think they said something about, like, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it made it sound like they were going to, like, crack open the crustaceans and try to, like, sell their shells or something. It was really disturbing, but it definitely seems like they're trying to flesh out Defarge and Crummles' characters a little bit more as opposed to being, like, the old-timey guys where one of them is sick. Which I appreciate. So
Yeah.
I think out of the bunch, Rock Lobster is the best. I think him and Hermit Crab are doing some good stuff together. But I feel like Defarge and Crummles are kind of the thing that they're kind of focusing on now.
It's true. I don't like that they're cracking open their shells. And I don't know who's going to be like the light team here for that. Like I don't think I just don't think Rock Lobster and Hermit Crab are going to be like the super over baby face guys. They're like mega heels, and no one wants to cheer for the other. I always call them like ragamuffins or something like that. Now they're hucksters or whatever you want to call them. Either way, I don't think they're going to be cheered for either. So I'm just going to go with. I'm gonna go with Rock Lobster and Hermit Crab just because.
I feel like the crustaceans will be the baby faces here. People really like cheering Crab because I think he's funny, and Rock Lobster has some really cool looking offense.
He
So
does, but he comes off like a real jerk, right? Like his persona is just like constantly he's coming off like a jerk.
he can turn that down though.
But can I mean he could. I don't know if he will, is what I'm saying.
We'll see. Well, won't we?
Yeah, we will probably.
Officer Warren Barksdale with 0 points takes on Wani with 0 points. Two pretty new people to Chikara. And I think this actually has potential to be very good. Like, I always feel like Barksdale's matches I don't expect much from, but typically they overachieve. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're just kind of there because they're too short. But sometimes, like, that Kobold match from the second Hour of Power, I thought really overachieved. I really like that match.
Yeah.
And I feel like Wani's pretty good too. So these two together, there could definitely be something.
Yeah, it should be interesting. There's definitely a speed difference there. Wani tends to kind of move at full speed or can move, and I find when I think of Barksdale, I really think of someone who I don't want to say trudges, but like I just think of someone who's not quick. I don't know. I can't get a beat on whether I like Barksdale or not. It's really kind of strange, and both of these characters are really making their mark in this year. So was Wani even in Chikara last year?
He debuted at the season finale in the CBL.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so that makes sense.
So
So these are kind of
like
big
yes,
characters of this year.
yeah, it's like yes, he was, but not really.
Right. So yeah, when we look back at 2016, we could be looking at these two guys making their mark, and so this being their first match. It may even be, you might even think of it as like an investment match, where like a year or two from now when they're, when they've got more seasoning, they're even better wrestlers, they're doing something storyline wise, that the match could be even more important. Either way, I just hope it's a good showing, and like you, I expect there's a good chance it will be. With Wani doing tag stuff right now, I'd have to say Barksdale gets the win.
Yeah, I want to pick Barksdale simply because I want to pick a Technico somewhere in here.
Sure.
And why not Barksdale? You're right. Like Juani and Coronado's concentration is on the tag stuff right now. I think they'll get their third point soon enough. So maybe even on an encore match. Who knows?
Right.
So yeah, I'll agree with you and say Barksdale gets the win here. So we have our third of Ant versus Nazem Al Dune people. Fire Ant versus Mark Angelicetti. Fire Ant has 0 points, and Mark Angelicetti has 3 points. So it's a very similar situation to Icarus and Silver Ant, except Fire Ant can't get a title shot if he wins. It's also a battle of former Young Alliance Cup champions. And man, could this be just fantastic. I got to go with my gut and say Angelicetti.
How many points does Angelo City have?
3.
Boy, I just said, I mean, I literally just said that you can't, 4 points seems excessive. And it seems ludicrous. But I'm going to go with Fire Ant. It is. It's ludicrous. It's
excessive. Okay, but one person with 4 points you can live with. Two people, that's just outright absurd. So Icarus losing and Angelicetti winning seems like it's a balancing act. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Maybe. I mean, here's the thing. Part of me thinks this Nazem Al Dune thing is going to come to an end at the season. They're all going to get their memories back, and it's going to be a fleet of guys with points that can challenge the championship. That's kind of what I think they might do. That's one of the reasons I was going to go with it. But I just, I don't know. I feel like they're going to go with the Technicos, like stealing those points. And that's sort of what it's supposed to be to me, is the weakening resolve of the Nazem Al Dune, army there. But who knows? I could see, I could see them honestly all holding just like tons of points and, you know, they get their memories back at the end of the season, but I guess we'll just have to see.
Justin, I can't express the excitement I have for this next match. Forget the points. Neither of them have any points. The Big Deal versus Chuck Taylor.
When you sent me this match, when you sent me this match, I just thought, I mean, it's a look what I want you to appreciate. People go into this show, look what you're getting on this on the same card. Like, that's crazy. You are getting an absolute barn burner in storyline based match in Fire Ant and Mark Angelicetti. You're getting maybe the two breakout characters of this year for Chikara in Juani and Officer Warren Barksdale. And you're getting now, you are getting a man with a stolen name, and a man who used to be referred to as Little Bastard. This is glorious. There's really not a whole lot you can do to prop this up any further. I don't know what this match is going to look like, but I'm pretty sure Chuck Taylor is going to lose.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And it seems, and this is probably insensitive to some people, but Chuck Taylor has got to be happy that he's finally facing someone at the right height for him to properly hit the soul food.
Okay, now, what if, or I shouldn't say what if, what are the odds that this turns into, remember how the Big Deal versus Juan Francisco de Coronado turned into Team Big Deal versus the United Nations?
Yeah.
What are the odds this turns into Team Big Deal versus Chuck Taylor and his Gentleman's Club?
I mean, I could see it potentially. I mean, we both agree that that's what we think, Dustin gave him.
Could be. Yeah. Like, if they want to throw Orange Cassidy and the Swamp Monster in his corner for this evening, I will not be upset.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I could totally see it happening. I don't know how you sustain a match between Big Deal and Chuck Taylor trademark. I'm not sure. Is it the main event?
No. Oh no.
Okay. All right. Let's make it sure. I mean, it's going to be fascinating, and once in a lifetime. I don't think they'll ever have this match in this form ever again.
Me neither. I kind of hope it stays the way it is, although, you know, the Gentlemen's Club coming back always will make me happy. But no matter what, yeah, Chuck Taylor's not winning. No way.
Can't be done. And neither of them have any points, so
right. And who, and really, who cares?
Right.
But speaking of points and grand championships and all that, we are getting a grand championship match on this card to main event the show. Hella Wicked making his third defense in this title reign takes on Heidi Loveless, who's getting her second shot at the grand championship after failing to defeat Princess Kimberly in March for the title. Although she did defeat Princess Kimberly to get her third point for this title opportunity. So I like that little bit of storytelling where she couldn't get it done against Kimberly, but now she's defeated her on her way to her second chance at the gold. I think that's really cool. This could be a really interesting match. You know, Heidi's a good wrestler. You know, the dynamic with her and Hella Wicked will certainly be really interesting to see. And I don't think she's winning the title, but I do expect there to be a lot of good drama in this match.
Yeah, I expect as well. I actually wouldn't be surprised to see a title change, which sounds crazy. But it seems like this whole thing with Heidi Lovelace is going to be some big storyline, and I would not be shocked for it to involve Nas Muldoon or the championship, especially as a way to bring Kimberly into the fold. Even more so than they already have. I could see that as a possibility, but I am going to go with Hollow.
And that's the shows. We did it.
Yeah, we've done it again.
So if you're anywhere near, if you're in the New England area or near Massachusetts, you can go to these shows. Joey Styles is going to be there providing commentary on both shows. So that's really interesting. I noticed, Justin, that Jakara did a massive update to the roster page. They added a bunch of new people like the Team Big Deal, Des Pelatone, Crummles and DeFarge, the Sea Stars. They updated some pictures of the Nas Muldoon guys. Jigsaw's back on the main roster page from the like the past guests. And they updated the past guests page with a ton of other people too. So if you haven't been on the Chikara roster page in a long time, it's worth navigating, seeing some cool photos and checking out who the newcomers are. But one of the new people on the Chikara roster page is Joey Styles. And it lists him as the anchor of the commentation station. So it seems to me like we're going to be getting Joey Styles on a large amount of Chikara shows coming up. And I know you said that you liked what you heard of him from the Mustache Mountain and Dasher Hatfield versus Batiri match that they put up on YouTube. So that's really cool that Joey Styles seemed to have such a fun time at King of Trios that he's sticking around.
Yeah, it was electric. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does across the entire King of Trios, and of course when these shows come out as well, you know, to see if that same sort of rapport that works so well on those shows is here as well.
So yeah, go ahead and check out the shows if you're there live, or they'll be on Chikartopia soon enough. I mean, you saw how fast King of Trios got put up.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, before we get out of here, what stuff do you want to plug?
My Twitter that I plugged earlier at Justin J. Houston, where I tweet about all my wrestling related thoughts, political stuff mainly lately, and just general stuff. That's all I got going on. Kevin.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at KFord13. I don't post a lot these days, but no, sometimes I do. So follow me so you can get those. Be sure to follow at Chikara Special on Twitter. That is the dissemination point for my review blog, chikaraspecial.wordpress.com. The Tumblr I do that posts all the Chikara news, videos, match announcements, whatever else, that's chikaraspecial.tumblr.com. And then, of course, my YouTube channel, The Chikara Special. I post promos from every Chikara show, new and old. Actually, believe it or not, Justin, I'm going to be posting promos from Joshi Mania this week. And once I do that, I will have every show from Tag World 05 backstage up to the network special posted in its entirety.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so then it'll just be the future shows as they come out from here on out. So I'm going to do a little bit of organizing, I think. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to curate playlists for all the different shows and stuff and do that so I can try to get them in order. Like in a chronology, in some respect, and build some playlists from there, so it's easier for people to go watch matches from certain or promos from certain shows, things like that. So yeah, that'll be a completed project pretty soon here. So check that out, and if you just want to go back and watch old Chikara promos, there's a ton of them on there. It's a pretty awesome page at this point. And like I said, Nova Pro Wrestling, I do commentary for them. The next show is Saturday, October 22nd, the debut of Chuck Taylor. Him and Dan Barry are going to be teaming up. We have Team IOU coming in. Angel Aslane is coming in. Sanjay Dutt's on the show. Lots of cool stuff. NovaProWrestling.tumblr.com for tickets and other information. You can follow them at VA Wrestling on Twitter. And I encourage people to follow at PW Ponderings. We've hired a lot of new writers lately, and a lot of people are cranking out articles and reviews and stuff. So welcome to everybody who's new to the website. Super good to have you. Super good to have new voices on the website always. And I hope more people will follow suit. And yeah, go read all the stuff that they're doing and all the stuff I'm posting, and have some fun. Justin, thanks again for doing this with me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, man, as always. And I look forward to doing it again in the future.
All right, so thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you in about a month's time.
And there's a quick PSA to anyone out there. It seems like Takara still has not located the Young Lions Cup Championship, but when they find it, I'm sure they'll start putting on championship matches again. Thanks. Clap your